Good evening. Before we get into our lesson this evening, I have a sad note. Brother Keith Street called me, and he'll be going into surgery Tuesday morning for cancer. And so we all need to remember him in our prayers. I know he's very concerned about that, as I. The text of our lesson this evening will be based upon Psalm chapter 90, verse 10. If you would like to turn over to that, I welcome you to do that. We have a lot of challenges in life that we're faced with. And these challenges, they change as we go through life. Our fears, the pressures that we have, circumstances because of our age or maybe the society that we live in. Challenges, they come and go and they change. Things like how to deal with death and dying or maybe just simply being honest. Dealing with stress and worry in the workplace. And Psalm chapter 90, verse 10 is a passage that deals with one of the challenges that each and every one of us is going to have to go through with. The book of Hebrews tells us that it's appointed for every man, every human being, that they're going to die once. So this is an appointment we're all going to keep. We can't evade it. It's something that's going to happen. We don't like to think about it, but it's a challenge, isn't it? And the older we get, the more real that becomes. And so it's an issue that each one of us need to look at, and especially the older generation, because it's something that we're going to face. It's closer for some of us than it is for others. You know, there was a time that I would have made jokes about aging. And I would have been afraid that in my youth I would have been perceived as being insensitive or maybe that I was mocking the old people. So I was reluctant to say anything about it. But you know what? Now I can get after it because I'm getting there. I can kind of play around with it. I'll be 63 on my next birthday, so I'm not getting any younger. This Psalm 90, verse 10 is a psalm written by Moses. Matter of fact, it's only one that I'm told in the book of Psalms that was written by Moses. And this is the only poem in the book of Psalms attributed to him. And the point here is not to set a maximum of years that we're going to live. That's not the whole point. But to help us to realize the brevity of life and to realize that we are going to die. I think that is the point, the main point of the psalm. Moses in this particular passage wrote, "The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away," paraphrasing that, "to death." It's real. You know, sometimes we are very reluctant to think about growing old. Our presents that we receive when, you know, we kind of know we're getting older when we see some of the presents like glow-in-the-dark toilet paper and stuff like that, or Preparation H, or maybe things of that nature. We don't like to think about it, but there's a lot of jokes about growing old. Someone says, well, you know you're growing old when they put you in a rocking chair and you can't get it going. But growing old is when you you know, you finally get to the point, you've got all the answers, you've gone through life, you have all of this experience, but the young people won't ask you any questions. That's when you know you're getting old. Or when you sink your teeth into a real juicy steak and they stay there. That's when you know for sure you're getting old. But it is depressing sometimes to a lot of people. Art Linkletter said, you know, old age is not for sissies. And it's not. But aging has been said that, it's been said that whenever we consider the alternative of growing old, it doesn't look too bad. So we're either going to die young or we're going to live to be old. And so the alternative is not all that attractive. We need to be thankful that we are growing older and that we have an opportunity to serve God. But on a more serious note, in our culture here in America, it is a youth-oriented culture. And by that I mean, if you look into the workplace, here in America, they want the younger people, and they want to kind of push the older people out. Doesn't make any difference how qualified they are or how much experience. In a lot of cases, especially in the corporate world, they want to push out that experience, that old person, and bring in the new, because that's just the trend. We can look in on the TVs, and we see, you know, the commercials about cosmetics. And, you know, if you have a blemish on your hand, that's supposed to be some boogaboo. You know, we need to get rid of it, or wrinkles on our face, or blemishes of some kind. We can look at the cosmetic industry and just billions and billions of dollars that are made on cosmetics to make people look younger. And so we put a great deal of emphasis. But you know what? When you go into other cultures, we see that it's a little bit different. Now, there's a lot of things about other cultures, the society that they live in, the morals and things that are not appealing to us, but in most other cultures, they do respect their elderly in their societies, and that's good. And maybe we need to be influenced a little bit more about that. Other cultures, they place greater emphasis, more profound respect on older members of society. We could probably learn a lot from that. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32, in the Old Testament, God gave a command that thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. In other words, the gray head, the older person, the older people, the older generation. And honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I am the Lord. Now that was a divine mandate to respect the older generation. You know, they say that you're only old as you feel. Well, when you get older, that you may feel like you're 25 someday, and some days, and 110 the next. But that's true. Tonight, we want to develop this idea that's suggested in Psalm 90, verse 10, by asking several questions. And the first question I would like to propose to you is there wisdom to be gained according to what the Bible teaches in older age? Well, the answer to that is yes. Yes, indeed. There is a lot of wisdom to be gained in older age. The life, the time, the experience that we gain each day that we live, and various things that we go through in life. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 31, very similar to Leviticus 19, verse 32, says, the hoary head, the gray head, is a crown of glory. That sounds very positive, doesn't it? If it be found in the way of righteousness, it's conditional. It's great, it's glorious to become old if we have lived our lives in righteousness. If we have lived in the way that God has prescribed within the Scriptures. If we haven't, of course, we know what the alternative is. And so the old age should be a glorious time. If we have served God throughout our lives. Job chapter 12, verse 12. With the ancient is wisdom. Well, the ancient there is a metaphorical term referring to the older generation. Is wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, someone has said it's knowing how to use what knowledge you have. Knowledge within itself, it's not virtue, but it's knowing how to use that knowledge. We can sit in a classroom and learn a lot of things about how to drive a truck. And we can spend 10 years trying to learn how to drive a car. But until we get out and learn the little tricks and trades that is required of driving a truck or a car or cooking, you see, we haven't gained that wisdom. And so wisdom is knowing how to use what knowledge we have and perfecting that knowledge. So knowledge becomes a vehicle to help us develop the type of wisdom that we need in life. And so our young people, you become wise whenever you learn how to use your knowledge properly according to God's Word. And use that knowledge to the glory of God. Young people in a society, young people make a mistake. Also, I think if they only seek advice from another young person. Now, let me qualify that by giving you an example to illustrate the meaning of what we're talking about. When Solomon died at the end of the United Kingdom period, Rehoboam, his son, took over. And he went to Shechem to be inaugurated in as king. And the people came to Rehoboam. They said, "Now look, your dad's been tough on us. Taxation, putting our young people in the military. He's been pretty tough." Said Rehoboam, "What are you going to do about it?" And he said, "Well, give me 3 days and I'll give you an answer." So he goes to the older men. And he says, "These people are getting riled up. And I need to know what your advice is." And they said, "Well, you know, you better pull the reins in. They're just going to divide the people." So he says, "Okay." And then he goes to this younger generation, and he says he seeks the advice of people that do not have wisdom. He said, "What do you think we ought to do?" And they said, "Look, Rehoboam, who's the boss? You're the boss. You tell them this how it's going to be. It's going to be this way. Taxation is going to continue." And boom, it divided. So we have a divine example of what happens when we do not listen to wisdom of older people and respect that. Rehoboam had to suffer. The kingdom divided. And of course, from that point on, we know began to write a new chapter in history. Number two, second question, can older people still contribute to society according to what the Bible teaches? Yes. And they contribute a great deal. It's a myth for the ideal or the concept that older people are no longer useful. In many societies, they think, we put the old people to sleep, euthanasia. You know, they get old, they get useless, they're sick, they're dying. Let's put them out of their misery and get them out of the way so they won't be a bother to us. And that's one reason for euthanasia. And, you know, Dr. Kevorkian is putting people out of their misery. But you remember the story of Caleb. And we have an incident about Caleb in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 11. This was during the time of the period of conquest when Joshua took the lead. And for 55 years, the campaign went on to push out the Canaanites and for God's people to take over. And at the very end of that, Caleb, one of the two spies that came back that went into the land before the campaign started, one of the faithful spies, came back with Joshua, and, you know, he was the one that said, God told us to go in, we better go in. And, of course, 10 of those spies said, no, there's giants in the land, they got walled cities, we can't do it. And, of course, most of the people believed the majority, which is so common. And Caleb and Joshua said, God said we better go in and we better do what God says in the book. And, of course, they disobeyed God and they had to go back in and wander another 40 years. And after that older generation died off that believed that way, then Joshua took the lead and they went in and they began to conquer the land. But Caleb was that man. And here, at 85 years old, in Joshua chapter 14, Caleb comes to Joshua and he says, give me the hill country. He's 85. He says, because I want to go in and I want to whip the giants out. So yes, older people, according to what the Bible teaches, have a responsibility to continue serving God. Great things have been done by those of advancing years. Vanderbilt added $100 million to his fortune between the ages of 70 and 83. Michelangelo was still painting at the age of 80. On and on. We could give hundreds of examples of people in their older, latter years that have contributed to society, to the church. Abraham, Moses. Yes, we have a ministry. And we need to put the hand to the plow and not hang it up. There is no retirement system for God's people. Now, we might slow down. We may have to change our ministries. But we are not to hang it up. God expects the older generation to put the hand to the plow and continue working for God until we take our last breath in life. Number three. Can older people and younger people work together? Yes. You know, we hear about the generation gap. But I'm reminded of the story between Ruth and Naomi, or Naomi and Ruth. And, of course, the context, the historical context of this story is actually during the time of the campaign, the 55-year campaign, or however long it was, that Joshua and the people of God went in and whipped the Canaanites out. And this is just a typical story of that time. And Naomi was married, had two boys. And her husband died. And then, of course, her two boys married two women. And the boys died. And so Naomi was left with these two daughter-in-laws, and said, we're going back to the land of Canaan, I believe the story goes. And they went back, and Naomi looked at her daughter-in-law and said, you need to go home to your mother's now. And one of them did, and Ruth said no. Said, I just can't do that. Tears welled up into her eyes, and she said this, and I think it's classic. One of my favorite passages. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Oh, what a classic passage, inspired passage of God's Word. Can older generation and younger generation work together? Yes. According to God's inspired Word, we should work together as Ruth and Naomi. There should be no such thing as a generation gap. Can older people learn new things? That's the next question. Someone says, well, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm not a dog, you know. And people are not dogs. But we can learn. Listen to what the Scriptures say. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the original language, that's what's called continuous language. Keep on growing. That's not just for the younger generation. That's for each and every one of us. No one is excluded from that. We are to grow until the day we die. Grow in what way? Well, we grow and we learn from God's Word, but just simply knowing the Word is not does not necessarily mean that we have obeyed God. It's when we put to practice what we know. And we grow from this knowledge. And we do that until we take our last breath in life. Question number five, is old age an age of or a time of fear? Are we to be governed by fear? And am I going to make it through the night? Or am I going to wake up tomorrow and be sick? We're to be bulwarks of the faith for the younger generation. We're to stand up for what we believe and not be motivated by fear. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of what? Fear. But a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind." No. We do not walk by fear, but we walk by faith. And so we need to muster up that courage in our lives as the older generation and not stop. Psalm 71 verse 9 says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth." Well, the psalmist wasn't doubting God's ability there. He knew that God, there is a promise that God is going to take care of us. Life is not going, he never promised us a rose garden. But he did promise that he would give us strength to withstand those things that come in our lives. Death and the loss of loved ones. And maybe not the ability to slam dunk it anymore, you know. But at least we might be on the court somewhere doing something, finding our ministry. It may change. But we must have a ministry as the older generation to continue to serve God. Question number six. Does the Bible give any specific instructions for seniors? Psalm 92, verses 13 through 14. "They that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." Should I reread that? We are to be fruitful in our old age. "They shall be fat and flourishing." Let's read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." So yes, it addresses both the older men and the young, older women. There, we have specific instructions that we are to be involved in. The older generation is to teach the younger generation. We have an obligation to do that. And whatever it takes, need to fulfill those obligations. Question number seven, are there any advantages to growing older? Growing older helps us to recognize our dependence upon God. I think each day that we live, you know, sometimes in youth, people are too busy, too active to recognize their need for God. And sometimes the younger generation, they think, oh, death is not coming to me. You know, I'm young. Well, that may be true. It may not be true. Hopefully, it will not come for years. But when you get older, I know that I catch myself thinking, you know, I'm 63. I'm going to be there pretty quick, you know. If 70 years is correct, then I've got 7 more years. But that's not a maximum, as we just read, that we're going to live, but it's just wanting us to realize the brevity of life. And as Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, we need to be spending our time, instead of having a rip-roaring big time in this life, we need to be walking through the graveyard. We need to walk through the graveyard, is what Solomon says, and realize that we're going to be there someday. And so time is valuable. How we spend our time in this life is extremely valuable. Growing older provides additional opportunities. Sometimes in the busyness of youth, we don't take time for prayer, for Bible study, for other good works. And we need to set aside a time, a quiet time, each day to spend time in prayer and Bible study. Growing older makes heaven more real. And we're just coming a little closer to home each day that we walk through this life. As we grow older, do you find yourself thinking about the place called heaven? I do. I yearn for that place called heaven. I'm tired of the sin-sick world. But I know that the sin-sick world needs every one of us as Christians. And it's not time for us to go and say, no, that'd be selfish to say I want to leave here. But we do look forward to going to heaven. But God needs us here upon this earth so we can combat sin. And we do that. God told Abraham he would be buried in a good old age in Genesis 15:15. The Bible says of David, he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. 1 Chronicles 29:18. So in conclusion, let us remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Ecclesiastes 12:1. And we need to continue to depend upon God. And thereby, if we continue to serve God in this life, young people, then we will have a good old age. We live that in righteousness. But in order to do that, it all begins by making ourselves right with God. If you're here this evening and if you have not obeyed the gospel, the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. Luke 13:3 says that we need to repent and change our lives and decide, make that decision to follow God and say no to sin and yes to God's word. Romans 10:10 says that we confess with our mouth unto salvation. And then we are to be baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, Romans 6:3-4. It may be that you're here this evening and you have so sinned against the church that maybe you need to make public acknowledgement of that. I don't know what your need is, but you do. God does. If you have a need this evening that the church can help you with, we invite you to come. While together we stand and sing.